The time now, 20 minutes past 8 on Radio Veritas, and I greet somebody in faraway Eastern Africa. Habari ya asubuhi.
Nzuri sana, habari ya kofaza.
Ah, kusufaza. Oui. Hey, brother Opa, how are you?
Fine, Tyson, how are you?
Are you now fluent in the language of East Africa?
Oh, well, Kiswahili, it has its own difficulties, but I'm getting there.
You're getting there. It's a long way of saying good morning. Habari ya asubuhi.
Habari ya asubuhi, yes.
Do you just say habari?
No, habari is still okay.
Oh, that's very good.
The answer is in Zuri.
Okay. All right. Listen, lovely having you with us, and thank you for giving us some time this morning. Today is Africa Day, and it's wonderful that that you are somebody who comes from deep Soweto, St. Pius's Parish in Mufulu, and you've been studying in Kenya. Have you done all your studying for the priesthood in Kenya?
No. I did my philosophy in John Diani.
Yes.
And then the first semester of theology, and then the Archbishop decided that he wanted to explore more.
Right.
So he sent us to Nairobi to study our theology.
Okay.
At the present, I'm doing my fourth year in theology. I'm about to finish it, my last year actually, here in East Africa. So, yeah.
Okay. How many of you are there from Johannesburg?
We are four.
Four of
you? We are four. It's the four of us. In the same class for the same year.
Okay, and you, where are you studying? What's the name of the university or the seminary?
Oh, Tangaza. University College.
Right, Tangaza.
And in Nairobi, in Langata.
Yes, okay. Well, that's very... I've been there. I've visited those places. I was very impressed with Tangaza, I must say. It's a very beautiful place.
Oh, yes, it is.
Very good. And very...
Father.
And good lecturers there too.
Oh yes. Some of them are lecturing us there.
That's right. I was very impressed with their library. You've got a very good library there too.
Oh yes. Yeah, there are two actually.
Yes, that's
there
right.
Are two. There's this old one and then another new one.
That's right, yes. All right, so.
Well, it was a theological first.
Yes.
And with a small library. Now they have built another block with this cooperative studies. And now they have another library. It's bigger and it's better.
Okay. All right. Now, Brother Opa, you are in your last year of study there now. And you're presently in Tanzania, if I understand correctly.
Yes. I'm here for pastoral work. About 3 months
before
I go in and continue with the last part of my theological study.
Okay. Now, whereabout are you in Tanzania?
Oh, under Mountain Kilimanjaro, in a place called Mbogogo.
Oh, my goodness.
In Kilimanjaro. It's called, the area is called Kilimanjaro.
Wow. And
yeah.
And how do you manage the language-wise? Because everybody, I suppose, speaks Swahili.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's very difficult, but, well, I've learned some Swahili from Kenya.
Yeah.
So at least that one is helping out a bit to try and manage life here.
Right.
But it's not very bad. There are people who speak English, so whenever I start, they are very prudent in correcting me. People are more than willing to teach Swahili to people who are non-speakers of Swahili. So I have found a family of Tanzanians who want to teach me, and I'm learning.
Very good. All I know in Swahili is Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata, yes. another one like that one is Hakuna Shida.
Okay.
No problem, it's the same.
All right, okay. Brother Oba, now, you come from Soweto. You studied in Pretoria. You studied also in Kenya. That's where you're presently studying, in Nairobi, at Tangaza. Yes. And you're now working in Tanzania. When you know, it's a unique experience to be able to be exposed to different countries in Africa. How, today on Africa Day, I thought let's talk a little bit about comparing South Africa, Soweto, to the place where you are now and to Kenya. How would you compare all these places?
Well, the first comparison, I'll just talk about the environment.
Right.
The environment here is lightly vegetated. If you have seen around in the news, the internet, and the rest.
Right.
It's lightly vegetated, and in South Africa, we are very impoverished when it comes to that.
Right.
And the second thing is that people here are grounded, farmers, in their traditional principles and the culture itself. It's very much part of their life. You still have to talk to the elders when you want something very important to be done, and when even a priest is also treated as an elder here. And given the situation of South Africa, we have transformed so much ourselves, given our social economic situation at the moment, and the way how we have changed. South Africa has its own kind of mixed culture, if you like. But people up here in Africa, they have kept most of what they had already inherited from their forefathers,
right.
Like they say like that.
Mm. Is there much influence of colonialism, Western civilization in places like Tanzania and Kenya?
Well, in Kenya, yes.
Yes.
In Kenya, there is a lot of influence because you find that now even Swahili, the language itself, is being neglected in one way or another. You know, it's a very common thing that you find a child laid in church,
yes,
who cannot speak Swahili anymore or speak Kikuyu, one of the local languages in Kenya, because there are about 40 of them, I think.
Right.
Local languages, according to the tribes that are there.
Right.
So you find that there's a lot of influence, really, of colonialism, and even the way it is changing, it's starting to look a bit like even South Africa.
Right, okay.
Not Kenya.
Okay.
But that's a different thing from Tanzania, because in Tanzania now you find that people are still trying to stay with their own cultural background and the way of thinking.
Right. Do they have a different kind of dress that people wear in that part of the world?
Oh, yes. There's a very common kind of dress code that cuts across East Africa as a whole. That would include Uganda and Ethiopia and Burundi. And it's called a shuka,
a
Maasai shuka.
Yes.
It's like a square cloth that is very nicely designed, that is worn by everyone just around the neck, just to keep warm. It's very common from all over East Africa.
Okay, all right. Is it worn by men and women?
Men and women, yes.
Okay.
It is for everyone, just to keep warm. It's like a jacket.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's interesting.
To keep warm.
Okay. Tell me now, one other thing, Opa. What about music?
Yes.
Because for me, the music of Africa is so beautiful. What about the music of Kenya and Tanzania?
Oh, the music is beautiful, Father.
Yes.
The music is so beautiful here. We have a combination of many kinds of music, especially liturgical music. They have been very innovative when it comes to and to liturgical music, especially in incorporating their own kind of singing when they are in celebration. And also, so we have in liturgical music, we have a very specific way of teaching the notation, the everything that were done for Swahili songs specifically.
Right.
So music is very interesting. There's a very large variation of music, especially liturgical music.
Mm.
But their traditional music rhymes very well with their liturgical music, for sure.
And do they use a lot of drumming?
In some parts, they use a lot of drumming. As I was saying about Kenya and this Western influence, they are starting to use now even the keyboards and the pianos in the church.
Right.
But it's not really If you want an experience of some nice traditional music, whether it be liturgy or just a social call, you have got to go to places like villages or somewhere out of town, or a place where there are suburbs. Just out of that, you will get a variation of this particular kind of singing that is very enriching, if I may say, in my own experience.
Yes. What would you say, now you've come from South Africa, you're now in Tanzania and so on, what would you say is the most noticeable thing or gift or whatever it is that you pick up from the people and from these different countries?
People up here are very humble, Father. They are very receptive. Whenever you announce, for an example, that you are not a Tanzanian or a Kenyan, people immediately want to come and be next to you.
Right.
That is the first thing. Besides the preaching of Christian and the gospel veggies, they pretty much have that kind of deep hospitality for a visitor, for someone who is for the first time experiencing them.
Right.
One time when I was introducing myself, I was told that it doesn't matter your broken Swahili.
Yeah.
The best thing is that people want to hear your voice. Uh-huh. They want to hear your voice so that they know that you are there.
Right.
So that for me was very fundamental.
Okay. Tell me, another thing I wanted to ask was, you know, in South Africa, yeah, we've got also a wonderful, rich tradition of music here. Do you find a lot of South African traditional music being played in places like Kenya and Tanzania?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that much you do find.
You do.
But they have old music, and sometimes I feel like as a South African, what are they playing for who? But because they've seen maybe that I'm around or in a place, they start making me feel at home. They try playing, but they have a very old kind of music, like Idule. Oh, well, I always tell them that very few people in South Africa actually listen to this music, because they always want to find out, how do you dance for this? How do you dance? They only tell them that, hey, it's no longer so popular these days.
Okay.
You know, even like it's moving, I mean to say.
All right. Oh, well, what about the church? Will you compare the church, you know, the way we functioned here in Johannesburg? You might find a lot of priests then not wearing clerical collars and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you find the church in East Africa very clerical? And what's the spirit like in the church in East Africa?
Okay. In Nairobi, if I may compare it with Tanzania first.
Yes.
In Nairobi, we have more or less the same setting as in South Africa.
Right.
We have people who are very clerical, you know, these people who are very Roman, more Roman than the Pope himself.
Yes.
And we have people who are just a bit relaxed.
Yeah.
And who are taking it easy. But in Tanzania, it's a different situation. We have more involved personnel. When we talk about father or a priest, we are talking about someone who's totally set aside, who's supposed to give all the necessary goods for heaven.
Okay.
So when you talk to Father, you have a certain language, you have a certain approach,
yeah,
and even the Fathers, they have to appear in a certain way, other than in a relaxed way like us.
Right.
Well, not a lot of tolerance can be given to us in South Africa. We appear, both priests and seminarians. I found the difficulties within myself, the way we dress up. For an example, the four of us, the four brothers from the Ascension, the way how we dress is very different from the way they would think a seminary should look like.
Yes.
So it is also, it was also a problem, really, at some point. But when time went and people started getting used to how we do things within ourselves, they started understanding. Of course, one of the people that was supposed to insert himself in our situation was our rector in the seminary. He tried very hard to reach us where we are, and we had to explain a lot of things. So the church in South Africa, at least, is more relaxed when it comes to priests.
Yes.
And then when it comes to devotion, we all know how people other than South Africans would be expressing their devotion. Here, the devotions are very rich.
Yes.
People respond very well when it comes to popular devotion. And yeah, that's how people, the spirit of prayer really, it's very Catholic. At the same time, people respond as they would respond even in from the call from their own, very own culture.
Right, okay. Well, that's very, very interesting. Opa, we've got to move on, but thank you so much for talking to us. Anything else you'd like to share with us about your experience in East Africa?
Oh, all right. Just a few words of gratitude to the Archbishop, first of all, for giving us the opportunity really to try and expand our horizon, really, our knowledge of the Church.
Mm.
First of all, we have learned a lot. A lot has been made, and hoping that some of the things can be integrated into our own social structure as well as church structures in South Africa, because there is a lot of things we have learned that we would like to really bring back home, maybe for the betterment of the church itself in South Africa.
All right. Yeah. Okay, then, Opa, thank you so much indeed for talking to us. And I look forward to seeing you when you come back again.
We are coming back on next year in April.
Next year in April. A long time. Anyway, for now, let me say kwaheri, kwaheri, kwaheri.
Asante sana.
Hey, asante sana. Okay, there we go. Thank you very much, Opa. Have a wonderful day. God bless you and all the best, and may you continue to find your experience in East Africa really rewarding, and that you can fold that spirit somehow into your own being and enrich your own life. And may you bring a lot of the richness of South Africa to the people that you're ministering to at the moment. Goodbye and God bless you, and thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much indeed. That was Brother Opa Matseke, who comes from St. Pius's Parish here in Mufulu. And I hope that there were some people in that parish listening now and hopefully are very happy and encouraged to hear the voice of their brother Opa from St. Pius's Parish.